What are those things that come with fish and chips? Like the little...
Why peas?
Peas, mushy peas. Oh, mushy
gross.
Peas. Oh, mushy peas.
Oh, I hate peas, man.
Mushy peas just sound awful. I don't mind peas, but mushy peas.
Do you not have them in America? You're really missing out. Oh.
Mushy peas?
Mushy peas, yes.
I think you have to find me a picture of this or something so I know what these mushy peas are.
Why is South Park trending on Twitter?
Why is what?
South Park? Because it's funny?
No,
oh, because yesterday's,
yesterday's
episode, episode was really controversial with the Jersey Shore, and then they had Al-Qaeda bombing like people with the planes, so I assume that didn't go well with too many people. It was a good episode. Oh, that just looks gross.
Actually, that's a better one.
That still doesn't look much better. I think we're done with the mushy peas business.
That just looks sick, man. You've completely ruined those potato chips.
I know. Now, if you want some good potato chips, you need some poutine.
Okay, that's Canadian there.
Yeah.
I know that's Canadian, and I'm disappointed in that. I found that after I fell in love with it, so.
You know what's funny, man? The first time I went and ate at a fancy restaurant in the States, I asked for gravy, and he came back with a bowl of Alfredo with bacon bits. I'm like, did you put the bacon in here because I'm Canadian? If you don't know what gravy is.
I've never heard the Canadian bacon stereotype. I mean, I know there's Canadian bacon. I didn't know you folks love the bacon.
I just assumed bacon. It was a stereotype.
You know, it's also a pretty good dish to have, and it doesn't sound it is a garbage chip from Rochester. It just sounds awful, but it's so good. It's also rather filling, though. But we can discuss foods after the episode. So after Aeon started.
Wait. I have a question about the mushy peas.
Okay.
Was there any spice or anything in that?
No,
or is it just straight mashed peas?
I think it's pretty much just straight mashed peas. Right, I've never actually made any. I've just, you know, I've not looked. I'll Google that later.
All right.
Well, I think you should find recipes and make it, and then next week we'll have you discuss how your mushy peas came out.
I'll twit-pit the experience, and it'll be on Twitter.
There you go. Mushy peas experience.
Yeah. Okay. Look at this guy, he's all up on Twitter. I can't believe America doesn't have mushy peas. What the hell? That's funny.
Welcome one and all to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 16. The Mushy Peas episode, apparently. This week's episode, we'll discuss all the big, mate-breaking news from New York Comic Con. So after the first 5 minutes of discussing nothing of importance, we'll move on.
Yeah.
But, I know anyone who was just, like, disappointed with the general lack of any big and exciting news coming out of Comic Con?
Well, some of the stuff was just reiterating what we got at San Diego, except it's happening in like November. Like they were on about Dan Slott's run on Spider-Man again, which we already knew about anyway. So
that reminds me, because I attended a couple of panels since I got to attend New York Comic Con this year, and a lot, especially with DC, a lot of this stuff was like, we can't tell you, we're not. And it's like, they would tell you what's going to happen next issue, like with the White Kryptonite that got debuted in Superman 703 yesterday. JMS told us about that on Saturday at the DC Universe panel. And I'm like, yeah, I really didn't pay money to tell me what's going to happen on Wednesday. I could wait. I kind of want to know what's going to happen after Wednesday. And most of them didn't go beyond like January.
Who was leading the panels for DC?
The one I went to was led by Ian Sutcliffe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, There was a DC Nation panel on Friday, and that was said by Dan Didio.
That guy talks too fast, man. Way too fast.
He's very hypogenic, though that did give us the most exciting announcement from the DC Universe panel.
He talked so and fast when he gave his announcement at the San Diego convention I was at. People missed it. He was like, you guys ever heard of the Red Circles? Characters? Blah, 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 blah. Something about Archie. And I was like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Nobody had a clue. Yeah.
From my experience, he's very excitable, which is a good thing to have when you're like a president. But like everything he talks about, he generally seems to be like a kid in a candy store when he talks about it.
He's just happy to be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but because apparently there was some messed up communication between the two panels, and it got revealed that there will be a Hawkman ongoing at the end of Brightest Day.
Why? Which, why? Again, with the why. Why would they do that?
I assume Hawkman's a popular character to some people. I mean, I'm sure we're all big Hawkman fans here.
Yeah, but who's willing
to... Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. But how many times has this title been tried and died?
It's to fill in the weeks where they haven't got a Batman comic out, because there's like a Batman comic out every other week.
I was about to say, what week is that?
What?
I mean, there are, what, 8 ongoing Batman titles right now?
Sweet Christ.
I'm not actually counting them, but it seems like that, yeah.
There's Batman and Robin, there's Red Robin, there's Gotham City Sirens, there's Gotham Street, there's Detective Comics, and there's Return of Bruce Wayne, there's The Return Home, then there's going to have a bunch of other stuff coming after he returns. So
Batman Inc. as well soon, isn't there?
Yeah, Batman Inc. Like I said before, I love the character, but boy, does he get...
It's cashing in. It's what it is. It's just cashing in.
He's an area code ho.
The thing I don't... It's tedious. Like, I enjoy... The sad thing is I enjoy most of the books, but it's kind of like, you know, it's nice that they... I mean, most of the books don't feature him for the most part. It expands on his universe, but it is kind of like... More like this week alone, there was 7 or 8 titles that dealt with his return.
5.
Because I had 6 on my list and I missed one. Because there's the Return of Bruce Wayne, and there's like 5 of the one shots.
Well, the Road Home one shots.
Yeah, and then he's also in Superman 703.
That's dick.
Oh, yeah.
It's still Batman.
No, I don't think it's the same.
You don't think it's the same?
I think putting Dick in the Batman costume was the equivalent of replacing Peter Parker with Ben Reilly. The shit just doesn't work.
I actually enjoyed Dick in the role. I enjoy him in the role.
I did too.
I didn't mind Ben Reilly much as Spider-Man.
I didn't mean it as an insult, man. I prefer Ben Reilly to Peter Parker. He didn't whine as much.
Although one of the main reasons I liked the Ben Reilly Spider-Man and the Clone Saga is because that was like the big story arc I was reading growing up, so that's like part of my comic book childhood. That's why I like the Clone Saga as much as I do. But I mean, I prefer Peter Parker because he's Spider-Man. But
that also created the most frustrating game of my Genesis with Maximum Carnage.
Oh, I hate that game.
Oh god, yeah.
I hated that game so much.
I like the Snap version, but it is way too hard.
Yeah, it's way too difficult.
It is hard.
Yeah, I had it on Super Nintendo. It was on that too, right?
Yeah, that's what I have.
I had it on my Genesis. And then they kind of went the opposite way with Separation Anxiety, where they made that way too easy.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I played that one.
Me neither.
Oh, okay. Well, it's on the Genesis and Super Nintendo as well. I am still a huge Spider-Man fan. Contrary to what you may view from my Twitter, I'm not just there for Batman.
You love Batman.
I'm not going to deny that, but I also like Marvel characters. And speaking of Marvel characters in video games, it was announced at Comic-Con that the X-Men arcade game will be coming to Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. I don't think they gave us a date, but it will feature...
Do you have any details on the play? Like, it's a multiplayer, obviously.
It's up to 6 people, isn't it, online? You can have
six-player co-op.
And that's going to be like the Legend series? Is that what it's like?
No,
it's from the 90s. They're basically re-releasing.
Think of like Turtles in Time with X-Men characters.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
There's a Troya out for it if you haven't seen it. It's really easy.
Is it Capcom?
You could just Google it, to be honest.
Konami.
Be all over Google.
Konami.
But then we'd have nothing to talk about. Stand for Cratchit.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it's 6-player drop-in and drop-out co-op, which I'm really excited for because I love co-op games. Especially ones that break the mold of 4 players.
Yeah.
You know, most people have more than three friends, so it's kind of difficult to pick.
Most people.
And you get a ton of different X-Men. It looks like Nightcrawler is going to be the most awesome one in there because he gets to teleport over to face and attack people.
Dazzler isn't it as well, ain't she? And she's not one of the... Well, I'm not as familiar with Dazzler, but I think she's in the video game.
She might be, because X-Men always works on that one new mutant they introduce, and they just kind of put them everywhere. Like, we've discussed this before with Dasher, Jubilee, Spike. What's the chick's name from X-Men Legends 2? Magma? Did she ever make it into the comics?
First one. It's Magma, but it's the first game, I believe.
Magma's a new mutant.
Yeah, did she ever? Yeah, because she was introduced in the game to tie in with the comic books. I don't know how far she made it in the comics.
There'll be lots of download content for that game, I bet you, with like extra characters. Because think about all the trying to name.
I'm just assuming it's gonna be a straight port. I hope it's a straight port because I don't know if anybody's played the Turtles in Time game for Xbox Live Arcade or PSN, but I hated that game.
Yeah, definitely a step down from the original.
It took a lot of heart and soul.
I think I have the original one, not the Turtles in Time one.
The Turtles arcade game, fun because it's a straight conversion of the arcade game.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, it's better to evolve enough of your own, as we'll discuss next week when we talk about Sonic 4.
Yeah.
I guess the biggest news to come out of Comic-Con this week, though, is the fact that DC is dropping the price of their titles to $2.99, and I am not completely 100% sure about Marvel. Is it that they're only dropping their new titles to $2.99?
It's new titles from January, I believe. New ongoing titles. I'm getting
so So everything now is going to remain at a set price, but anything they introduce after the new year is going to drop.
I think so.
That's the way I understand it, too.
Okay, that's kind of weird. I mean, to me, and again, I'm just throwing it out there, it sounded more like a reactionary decision to DC's announcement than it did like they panned it out. Whereas DC kind of had it where they announced it and they were like, you know, this title for $2.99. Marvel's like, yeah, we're going to do it as well.
Yeah, Marvel didn't actually give any titles. They didn't specify any titles like DC, which made it look a bit weird.
Yeah, which is why I think, you know, it's like, oh, DC announced this. We'll announce it an hour later, but we have nothing to go on.
There's still a good separation, though, with the Marvel comics. Like, I'm just looking at my stack from yesterday. Certain ones are still $3. Spider-Man, Superior. Yeah, I mean,
Spider-Man's going up to $4, isn't it? Starting from Dunstop.
Is it going up? But it's only coming out twice a month, right?
Yeah, that's true. But it is going up to $3.99 this year, I think.
Well, they better get on some good stories then.
But like,
they're changing the page count on it, I think, to 30 pages per issue.
DC is, and I've heard. I've read other. Creators are talking about, you know, that's 2 pages a month I'm going to need to get pay my bills.
Especially the artists. The artists get paid per page, I think.
Yeah, maybe if the artist.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense, but on the same hand, there are a lot of books that kind of fall behind because somebody can't finish a project here or there, and you think it's 2 less pages you have to do a month, maybe you can pick up an extra title. Mm. Or maybe, you know, because I know they're getting rid of the backups, but they're also, I think, with some of the backups, they collect them into, like, one trade, which is another nice thing.
I don't think I enjoyed any of the backups. The last backup I enjoyed in a DC comic was when Wade took over The Flash, when they were trying to restart it there.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't read any of the backups. I kind of like my comics done, so I'm just going to put this back here.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, it's...
Sorry. Did you stop talking to me, Len?
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say there's a backup in the Captain America issue, which I don't actually read, because I just want to read the actual Captain America story, and then I'm just done with it then. It's a Nomad backup, and I don't read it. So.
Agreed, but I think they're going to stop with that, because she's joining the Young Allies.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
There's another young team in Marvel. Don't they already have the Young Avengers? Or...
They don't publish Young Avenger comics anymore. There's not a current series going. They have got Is there?
Yeah, Children's Crusade or something like that.
Oh yeah, but that's like a mini, isn't it? It's a bi-monthly mini. Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah, but I was talking about more as an ongoing series. Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay.
So Children's Crusade is a Young Avengers comic.
It is.
Yes.
So I'm assuming now with the new price, are you anybody gonna decide to pick up more titles because you save a buck, Or are you just, like, happy to save a buck now for the comics you do buy?
I thought about it, man, and I'm mostly a Marvel guy, right? But I do have quite a few DC titles. And if there was a new one I was going to pick up, the only one I could think of is Secret Six.
Secret Six is an awesome, awesome title. One of my favorites.
I'd have to avoid Batman like the plague of X-Men because it's turning into that, you know. If you want the whole story, you need all 15 titles.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's true. I haven't read any of their return one-shots.
I remember the 90s, boys. That's all I can
say. Oh, I remember. I remember because it's one of the reasons I hate No Man's Land and I hate War Games, especially War Games, because this was when I was first getting into comics, and it was 3 months, 27 issues.
And holy crap.
It's like 9 issues a week. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And it's like everything was told a different story, but it's like such a tiny piece of the story. But you would, you know, like, oh, I don't know what happened here, and I can't reread that story. I hated it.
It's like what Shadowlands doing almost, where it's across three or four Shadowlands miniseries, and then there's like Daredevil, and then like all these one shots and stuff.
That's actually a funny story. I was at New York Comic Con. I was in line for the DC Animated Universe panel. And there was a guy who, I guess he went with a friend, and he was talking about, like, getting into comics. And, like, he had bought the Blackest Night trade. And I'm like, why did you pick that up as your first trade to start reading DC comics with? He's like, yeah, you know, my friend told me I can jump. I'm like, yeah, there's a whole lot of history you have to know. And then there's, like, all these, like, you have to read Blackest Night. You have to read Green Lantern. You have to read Green Lantern Corp to get the whole story. So it's not like you can just read Blackest Night and say, I'm good.
Okay, well, let me say about Shadowland, because I know what Dylan's talking about, all them little miniseries and that. I've been just buying the core Shadowland, and I've been following it pretty good, man. I don't know. I don't seem to have missed anything. I picked up a couple of the Daredevil issues, thinking, you know, for sure, if anything's going to tie in, it'll be the Daredevil comic. And I don't think I really missed much.
And I guess it's not too bad, but it's kind of a bad example, but I just don't think there should be all those books if they don't really have anything.
I would have to say, I actually think that's a good example where it's like, you get all these tie-ins, but most of them don't really ever work with the main story because they're not done by the same writer.
Well,
so it's like,
you notice that everything, these books that we're talking about are like how Sinestro Corps was, just a little mini event in their little corner of the universe, right? Like Shadowland, upcoming Chaos War. Chaos War is the same thing, man. You open that book up, and there's a checklist on the first page, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought this said 1 of 5, not 1 of 52.
Yeah, that was the thing with Blackest Night. Originally, it was supposed to be a Green Lantern event, and DC said, crap, we have no event going on right now. Which was not true, because they had the whole Superman did that whole thing with the new Krypton, and that was, you know, that was all your Superman books. Nobody in the rest of the DC universe cared about it.
Let me tell you something about that little set of books right now. I'm going to burn them.
The
new Krypton thing, because I knew it was going to end that way, and it did, and it just totally got kicked to the curb. And I think in the last issue of Superman, because him and Dick are talking about it, and he's just like, oh, you're going through emotional disorder, right? He's like, no, I'm not. Spoilers.
I didn't read it. How exactly did it end here? Spoilers,
how did it end? It pretty much ended how anybody would assume it ended. They blew up the planet, almost all the Kryptonians are dead, and Zod is in the Phantom Zone. So it pretty much went back to square one after 3 years of build-up. And
it's
that
the origin,
pissed me
it's
off
the origin
so much.
Of Superman again, isn't it? Wasn't it just the origin of Superman again, pretty much?
It wasn't the origin.
He had his people, but then he ended up being alone by the end of it anyway. Because Krypton got destroyed.
I feel it could have had potential to be just so epic, and it just failed miserably at the finish line, you know?
I knew they had to do that because there was no way they were going to have that many Kryptonians on Earth, but it was just like, I read this for a year, and it's like, not even a year, because it starts from like the whole Brainiac arc with Jeff Jones and Hero Superman, and Superman is... So it's like 3 years of build-up, and they're just like, you know what? Never happened. We're back to the status quo.
It pretty much might as well have never happened. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, not that the Superman story now is much better with him just walking across America, but... And that's going to continue for another year, so I don't know when the hell Superman's going to get back on track to doing something of importance.
I'm just happy they're doing one story in one book at a time now.
Anyhow, speaking of things that probably will frustrate people, Marvel announced the Age of X... I guess it's the next major X-Men storyline, which will quote unquote change mutant kind forever
again.
In the Marvel universe, which is pretty much like every event.
How is it ended up? That's what House of M did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what House of M did. That's what Messiah Complex did. That's what Utopia did. That's what the recent event did. I don't know of any event where they don't hype it up as changing the game or, you know, nothing will ever be the same again.
Like, oh my god, we moved to San Francisco.
We can't do San Francisco anymore.
They need to just have some ordinary time where it's just all the books are separate and nothing major happens for a while.
They need to do what the X-Men, what they're currently doing with the Avengers now. Kind of.
What, 15 titles?
No, I just mean...
One story per book. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Because the Avenger comics are really good now, in my opinion. Although I didn't mind them that much during Dark Reign, but they're good now, especially New Avengers and Secret Avengers. Because they've all got their own stories and own characters. Although no doubt Wolverine will be on every X-Men team there actually is. But,
yep.
Speaking of the Avengers and new team members, it was announced before Comic-Con, but they showed a trailer that Red Hulk is joining the Avengers.
No, we knew that.
Yeah, the only reason I wanted to bring this up is because Marvel actually had a trailer set up for this, and it was an awesome trailer because it catches you up on what happened in the first six issues, and it kind of teases you at what's to come, and I'm like, I want to read the Avengers now.
Nice.
Because I know what's going on, and it's kind of like, oh, this sounds like an intriguing and not unique, but it's something I can latch on without having to go back and read Siege and the first six issues or whatever.
I'm just glad they put a Hulk on the team, period. I mean, it started with a Hulk, and then it was gone for so long.
Where is the Hulk?
Yeah.
He's got his own Hulk team.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, he just took off into space again.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Yeah, but he took the whole damn family that looked awesome.
The Hulk family? Oh, I didn't know there was a big Hulk family.
Oh, actually, it was a big throwdown with the Secret Avengers, and it was excellent.
Oh, what? When did that happen?
Secret Avengers. Hulk. Yeah.
Oh,
didn't I tell you that? I think I told you that yesterday.
Oh,
I told somebody. Well,
okay, you were probably drunk and talking to yourself.
No, I think I was talking to Nightmare Bala.
Are you talking to your Kanoia? Is that what you said?
Nightmare Bala. What the hell's that guy's name? Markeem.
Okay, there we go. I thought you said you were talking to your Kanoia. You were really drunk then if you were doing that.
I would talk to my beer bottle before my granola.
That's good to know, I guess. But I guess speaking of trailers, there were no real movie news, but we did have news on the three big anime series coming. Well, I guess four if you count the Iron Man anime.
I don't.
Wow, haters. Eric, do you also hate the Iron Man anime?
Oh no, I haven't really seen it, man. I don't.
There's a Wolverine anime.
Yeah.
There's a Wolverine. There's Wolverine. There's Iron Man. There's X Men, and then there's Thor.
There's a four anime.
Yeah. I do not know why they're doing a Wolverine and an X-Men one, but I guess at this point he's much bigger than the franchise.
Aren't these the ones that are going to be on, like, G4 or something?
Yeah.
Something that we don't get in Canada?
Well, we get Tech TV, but I doubt it'll have those, and it seems like a really weird choice to put them on G4. But I guess that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all in agreement that everybody here is going to check out these four shows and love it.
No, I'm going to check out four, as in the Thundercats. I'm not going to. I probably won't watch the rest of them. I might watch Iron Man, but I'll definitely.
The Iron Man one actually has premiered in the first episode. I think you can find on the internet. But since it's an anime, it's in Japanese, and I hate reading subtitles.
Yeah.
So, I'll wait.
Again with I can't read, eh?
I can read. Uh-huh. I don't read my shows though. But since we're on the topic of Thor and Iron Man, they will be making another appearance this year in Avengers Earth's Mightiest, which premieres in 2 weeks, or is it next week?
I don't even know.
22nd.
So next week. Yeah.
That is the to-do. That's next Friday.
I should be checking my gut.
That is. So who is excited for that?
Me.
I only watched one of those micro episodes and then forgot, so I'm not that excited for it, but.
Actually, I think Avengers premiered on the 11th, you know.
I think something about that bothers me, yeah, I think you're right.
Was it the 11th?
I don't know.
One way to find out.
The Brit in the conversation, though, is the American schedule.
It's supposed to be on Teletoon or YTV, I'm sure of it.
It better be.
Because well, I think it's supposed to be on over here on the 25th. That's what I think. I'm not sure when it's
I know they showed the first episode, the first like season premiere is like an hour long, and they showed the two-parters at Comic-Con. Sadly enough, it was at the same time as the next two shows we'll talk about. But I'm still kind of iffy on the show. I mean, it doesn't look that... I mean, it's nice that they're actually having an Avengers cartoon with the Avengers team.
Yeah.
Like the one in the 90s, but I'm not really sold on the animation. Kind of looks wonky.
Some of those scenes look a little goofed, yeah, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's good to, you know, go back to some... I guess it's not get back, because we haven't really been in a time where there hasn't been a superhero cartoon on TV. Not for a while, anyhow. But, you know, it looks like an interesting show, and I'll check it out, because, you know,
it looks really good for Marvel fans, because of all the detail they've actually gone into it. All the villains, the big and the small villains, and the team, and the little references as well, like when I was watching the Captain America micro episode in 1942-45, and Logan was on his team, and I know that's just Wolverine being in another film thing, but at least they're actually respecting Wolverine being part of World War II in the Avengers cartoon.
Good old Jimmy.
And they mentioned mutants in the episode you showed me before, so I'm wondering if it's not gonna be more of than an Avengers cartoon, more of like a Marvel cartoon in general.
I think it's gonna be a Marvel cartoon, because I think Superhero Squad is like their Marvel cartoon. So yeah. I should say
ages 12 and below.
Man, that show's awesome.
It is good, but it is mainly for like 12 and under, isn't it? I mean, I'm gonna watch it myself. But...
No, dude, if you're paying attention and you listen, it's for the adults too. Because especially if you're a comic fan, some of the things those guys say to each other, you're like, ah, and as a comic fan, you get it. And it's funny.
I just like the idea of like people like Thor, Wolverine, and Silver Surfer being on the same team together. Where else are you going to see that?
Nowhere.
I'm assuming Wolverine's on a team with Silver Surfer in some comic at this point. Or he's on a team with Deadpool.
I'm surprised Spider-Man isn't in that.
I'm pretty sure Wolverine's on every Marvel team now.
Spider-Man's not in the cartoon, I assume, because he is anchoring his own series.
Oh, I'm not watching it then. I'm joking.
Ultimate Spider-Man premieres next year.
I thought it was something like because of Sony owning the rights right now or something. But made no sense to me, because they can use Wolverine, and Wolverine is
animation doesn't work. Yeah, well, animation Marvel rights are really iffy, because it's not. I mean, it's now it's going to be Disney, I assume. But before it was like so many different companies, which is part of the reasons you don't have the Spider-Man animated series on DVD.
We do in the UK.
Well, you know, some of us in the good countries don't have it.
Excuse me.
But, so, and I assume either it's because of the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon next year, or the fact that technically Spectacular Spider-Man wasn't canceled until the start of this year. So Avengers cartoon had to have started sometime like a year and a half ago for pre-production. Yeah, so he was probably tied up with that cartoon as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess the other big cartoon would be the Green Lantern CG cartoon, which premieres next year, a long, long time from now. They did give us a lot of information at the panel, even though they gave us even less information. The main villains for the first season are the Red Lanterns, which means they're going to tackle the multi-colored rings during the series. The Guardians are in it. No Sinestro for the first 26 episodes.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Why would they go with the red guys when they should start like they did in the books, man? Go with the Yellow Army first.
I'm assuming, and this is this is generally a DC rule.
They already did that story.
Well, no, they have Sinestro in the movie, and they don't really like to step, you know, because you don't want to say, oh, this is what, you know, Sinestro was in the movie, and then he doesn't really relate to the one in the cartoon.
Well, a Marvel of Avengers out next in 2012, and the cartoon has got a lot of characters in that aren't going to be in the movie, like Giant Man and Wasp are on the Avengers team, and they're not.
Well, yeah, Marvel doesn't really stick to that rule. DC does for a degree, which is why if you check out the Batman, you'll notice like Harvey Dent, Scarecrow aren't used in it at all, because of Batman Begins in the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Justice League was kind of.
Spider-Man did that in the 90s.
He didn't use Vulture Sandman.
He didn't use Sandman, and he didn't use someone else as well. I can't remember. I think it might have been Molten Man.
I know the Spider-Man MTV cartoon was handicapped by that because of it was took place between the first and second movie, so they couldn't use any villain who could possibly show up in the movies, which is why they were stuck with Electro and Kingpin.
Yeah.
Which makes it sound bad. They're good villains, but like almost every other episode has some new creative villain for the TV show.
That's why it's a bad TV show.
Yeah. But I'm actually kind of happy that they're going with the Resentants because Sinestro has been done several times. He's been on Justice League. He was on Super Friends. He was one of the key members of the Legion of Doom. He's been on the Superman, the animated series. He's been on the Batman. So it's not like Sinestro doesn't get exposure in the animated universe. And he does eventually show up.
They're going to ruin Atroticus. I know they are. Or is it going to leave him right out of it?
He's in it. He's the main villain.
Oh, well, I haven't seen any of this, man.
Well, you can ask questions. He's the head of the
Red Lantern. I'm just thinking. They're going to pooch him.
How are they going to pooch? Well, I mean, I assume he won't kill people as badly as he does in the comics.
See, that's weird.
Well, apparently they still spew their blood acid thingamajiggy at people, and they do still kill people. But most of it would probably be implied or just like off screen.
Oh, like a certain X-Men cartoon from the 90s.
But that was different. That was just like people weren't punching or kicking or anything. It's one thing to say, oh, you know, like somebody got beheaded off screen. It's another thing to see somebody just roll around in the dirt for 5 minutes. It's the first DC cartoon that's completely CG, which is something I'm not really a huge fan of.
Neither am I.
I don't know, man. I've been watching some of these little kid CG cartoons for babies and stuff. I can't help it, right? I have a baby. But the animation isn't that bad. And applied right, I think it could work really good.
I'm not saying that CG animation is a bad thing. It works well when it's used well. I'm saying I'm not a fan of DC, because DC uses CG in a lot of their shows for like vehicles and buildings that they don't want to keep on drawing. Yeah, and it looks poor, and that's kind of how the Green Lantern looks. You get it, like, it looks like a Tim cartoon because it has his style with the whole, like, huge upper body and then those thin chicken legs with the, like, one calf muscle.
He'll break in half at the waist kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you still have that design going, but now it's in CG instead of being hand-drawn. And it looks iffy, but I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt because I'm a huge Green Lantern fan, and the fact that Geoff Johns is kind of, you know, mentoring the series as well. So there's that. And finally, I mean, unless anybody else knows on the Green Lantern cartoon or questions, since I was also on another panel I got to check out.
Green Lantern would appeal to me a lot more, I've got to be honest, if it was just hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm the same.
I don't like CG animation unless it's Pixar, but that's just me. I'm very stubborn when it comes to CG animation.
But another Pixar, thing
Pixar do it best, so Pixar should just ones to stick to it.
Did they give a list of the voice cast at all?
No, they can't talk about that yet.
Why?
That was one of the things that annoyed me about the panels. It's like a lot of the stuff was like, yeah, we can't talk about it yet. You just tune in and check out.
Like, it better be somebody uber famous, like, I don't know, Schwarzenegger or something. Schwarzenegger speaks normal English.
But
like, that'll happen.
What was I going to say about the CG? I mean, I'll check out the show. We'll see how it goes. I'm a huge Green Lantern fan. Oh, and the reason they wanted to do CG is because they said it would be a pain in the ass to draw the constructs. Which I can kind of understand.
Yeah.
I can see the constructs working a lot better in CG.
Yeah.
But like you said, hand cell animation and CG just don't really work that well together either, though.
Yeah, so it would be kind of weird for it to be hand-drawn and then have CG constructs.
One way or another. Yeah, I could see that.
Well, it's got a year to go. I mean, the animation looked decent from the like 15-second clip they showed. So, it's that. And finally is Young Justice, which, to be frank, looks awesome.
Who's Frank? Surely you could.
Well, I think it looks pretty good, and I'm more of a Marvel guy, so.
Yeah, I think it'll be the best cartoon that's coming out.
probably.
Yeah. It's kind of.
It has a huge pedigree. It has Greg Wiseman, who was responsible for the Gargoyles TV show and Spectacular Spider-Man. So, you know, he's already got my support. It has a interesting voice cast. It has...
It has Superboy. That's all that matters to me.
Yes, it has Superboy.
Nice outfit.
He has such a crap... I mean, it's an improvement over his old outfit.
What, you know, if I was a superhero, I'd wear the same freaking thing. Probably a baseball hat, too, though.
I don't know.
Sneakers, jeans, and a black t-shirt. You got it.
Well, that's what I said. That's an improvement. I don't know if you saw his look in the 90s where he used to...
Oh, I know. I know that costume. Yeah, boo, boo. Boo. Go away. it was Superboy 90210. That's what that was.
He had the worst haircut in comic books.
How did they pierce his ear back then, too? That just always... Like, where did he get... Like, whatever.
But they showed what they called the 5-minute scissor reel, which shows at the beginning of the first episode. And I'm sure all three of you checked that out.
Yep.
They did mention, and I'm sure you all noticed, that everybody in that, all the villains are ice-based villains.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They mentioned that.
There's probably a good reason behind it.
Yeah, they mentioned that it will be important throughout the series, like the villains are kind of organizing.
Mm-hmm.
But that and, you know, ice villains are kind of awesome, and it was the summer, so. That's the other thing, is that each episode would be dated. So, like, this episode was on July 4th, and I was watching an interview with the producers, and I think episode 3 is, like, July 22nd, so it is, like, 3 weeks between episode 1 and episode 3. And they are also doing a Young Justice comic book that ties into the series, and that would also be dated so that you know when it takes place in regards to episode airing.
For all the geeks.
I don't like... When they have comics that are based on the movies or TV shows, I think it's generally a bad idea.
I mean, we'll see. This seems like the first one that seems to be working hand in hand, because the first, I want to say 6 issues are actually written by the people who wrote the show.
Yeah.
And then I think it changes over for like 7, and then I think from they take over again like issue 14 or something like that.
Yeah, it can work, man. Like the Tron, they put out those Tron comics before the movie's coming out. It's supposed to bridge the gap between the two movies. And they're pretty
hopefully
good.
Hopefully it turns out better than the Batman Beyond miniseries that's ongoing.
That's turned into an ongoing. Apparently it's quite good.
It sounds like he's not, doesn't, what's wrong with it?
I stopped at issue 3.
I've read all of them so far. I don't know, it just, like, some of the story, it's way too much. It's using all Bruce Wayne's villains and none of, like, the Batman Beyond villains. And then, like, I don't know where it fits in story-wise, if it's supposed to be continuation of the show or what the hell's going on, because, like, just kind of screws everything up.
I was going to say,
it doesn't look like it takes place.
It doesn't look like it's actually based on the show, which is odd since she has the name. It looks like it's introducing Terry McGinnis into the DC Comics universe proper.
Yeah, but it references stuff that happened on the show, like Return of the Joker and stuff like that.
Does it now? Because I was going to say, because
Dick Grayson's in it briefly, and they, or not Dick Grayson, Tim Drake's in it briefly, and they, like, mention him turning into the Joker and other stuff.
Oh, interesting. Because I was going to say, it looks like it takes place, because if I'm not mistaken, isn't it that it's Bruce, it's Damian, and then it's Terry?
I think it's supposed to be like that, but like in Batman 700, it shows like whoever's Batman at the time, and he like gets shot, and then Damian like becomes Batman then, so I'm not sure if that's supposed to be Dick or Bruce, but then like Bruce is alive, so like, but then Dick's alive, so like it's all screwed up. I don't know which Batman dies to make Damian
DC,
become Batman.
They're going to leave stuff open so they can fill it in later, and so they're not restricted to creating new characters in the future, which they will want to do to sell more comics and to do new stories, so that might be why.
Yeah, I guess.
That was actually one of the points they drove home during the panel, is like almost every series is getting an introduction of new villains. And, I mean, I guess, you know, you can make new villains. It's kind of hard to make compelling villains most of the time in comic books.
It's kind of what comics are about, though, creating new characters. I mean, obviously, they'll always be the classic good villains, but they shouldn't just keep reusing the same old stuff. There needs to be new characters in there as well.
And yeah. I agree with that, but I think the problem is that they always try to shoehorn them into the universe proper. Like, an example would be Hush, where he was pretty much introduced as a way for them to just kind of reuse all the Batman villains. But like Hush afterwards was a much better character than he was when he was initially revealed.
Yeah.
Hush is something I would recommend to someone who hasn't read comics that much just because of all the characters it's actually got in it. I'm not saying it's like a great book, but just for someone who, you know, kind of like breaking into reading comics, just because of all the characters it's got in it, and it's a good introduction to like the backbone of Batman's universe because of the characters that are in it.
It's a gateway drug, sort of.
I was just gonna say, on the same hand, Batman does kind of have a proper continuity going with like Year One, Young Halloween, Dark Phoenix 3,
well,
Year 2.
Grant Morrison kind of changed a lot of the stuff from Year One, and then I think Year 2 and Year 3 are like screwed up now because of Long Halloween. I don't know. The early years are confusing, I think.
Well, I mean, to me, at least, I always go with Year 1 as being the story you tell people to check out first if you want to, you know Batman's origin. I don't think it's ever been done better in comics. I could be mistaken.
That's DC's continuity? That's their continuity. Yeah. It's been like that. That's why you have a crisis every 10 years, man.
I have to agree, though.
Some guy who's the editor-in-chief, whatever, goes, where's that big red button? We gotta press it now!
I understand a crisis on Infinite Earths, but I don't think any of the other ones have really reset the universe.
Well, I haven't read Final Crisis, so I can't comment on that, and I haven't read much
I think Infinite Crisis, or whatever, 2005 one. That one's
really I wouldn't say it reset, but it refreshed, because they made the top three take a year off, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's not the same as a refresh, I think.
I think that's more of a refresh than a reboot.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, you don't even need a crisis for DC to do that stuff, right? Because how long was everybody referencing John Byrne's Man of Steel as like the go-to comic for Superman's origin? And now what? It's the one that Geoff Johns just wrote, right?
Secret Origins.
Right. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You see, I'm done with Superman Origins, honestly. I think they should not touch that again. I mean, it's been beaten and beaten. That cow is dead and done.
You mean Smallville killed it?
If you're reading comics, you should know Superman's origin. Even if it's just from the Richard Donner film, you should know his origin. You don't
even
need
if
to.
You don't read comics.
Sorry, you do.
There's no way not to know Superman's origin. Superman is the most prophetic comic book character of all time. I have Batman, and he's popular right now, but Superman has always been popular.
Yeah.
And there is nobody who doesn't know who Superman is. They often more hate him. Everybody knows who he is. And you know his origins because it's that iconic.
It's pretty hard to deviate from that origin.
Yeah. If you think about it, Superman has been around for every generation he's been in existence. He had the George Reeves show. He had the Christopher Reeves movies. He had the Lois and Clark. He had Smallville. He's had a bunch of stuff. It's hard not to know about the character and where he comes from. So DC just needs to lay off the origins for he's 20, 25 years. I don't want to see it in the movies. I don't want to see it in anime series. I don't want to see it in a comic book.
Yeah.
That's odd, man, because that's how I got into comics. I used to get those little trades, and I'd always buy the Secret Origin ones.
Which is fine. If they exist already. You don't need to keep on refreshing them.
I don't know. It worked pretty good when Geoff Johns did it to Green Lantern, man, because then he worked in Atroticus and all that other stuff, right?
I actually, that was like the worst part of the whole Sinestro. I hated that story. Because I'm like, I know how he becomes a Green Lantern. This is just a tedious 7 months of him retelling the story.
I don't know. That was pretty good.
I haven't read it, so I can't comment.
Well, the Green Lantern Secret Origin, really?
No, he hasn't read much DC.
You're right. No, it is basically the same story again, but I mean, there's so much extra detail they put in there, man.
Well, I get that, because he wanted to tie it in to what he was doing and what he was going to do.
Yeah, so it was kind of, he kind of needed to do that.
He kind of needed to do it, but I mean, it's kind of, it's like,
and I think
it's
the same intentions that he's got with Superman right now. Instead of him taking over the book, he's handed it off to JMS, and oh my god, here we go. Everything's going to go sideways at DC, man. I'm serious. I'm sure of it. They're going to do what Image did, or whatever that Bob Harris guy did in the 90s. If you draw good, and people are buying your books, you get whatever. You want to write a title? Your name's Tony Daniel? Right on, brother. Here's a title. Have a Batman.
Bob Harris is the new editor-in-chief at DC now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Oh.
Things are going to go sideways over there.
John Cassard is going to seem like a god next to him.
It reminds me about JMS and Superman 703 once again. What the hell is with Superman interrogating somebody?
I like
he's still in Batman's MO.
Tough cop, psycho cop.
That is not Superman's gimmick. Superman.
He's supposed to be the nice guy.
Yeah, I've had this rant before, but Superman is the good guy. He's the best in all of us. He's not the guy who holds up some random street thug up in the air upside down and threatens him to drop him. That's Batman's gimmick.
It makes him look more human, right? Because when you get frustrated to a certain point, you're going to start doing stuff like that, right? But if he was always
not human.
Listen to me, though. If he was always the good guy and always the Boy Scout all the time, then you'd have people going, well, of course, he's not human. He's an alien. Maybe we don't need him. Which they've done that story, right?
I don't think he needs to be a Boy Scout all the time, but he doesn't need to be threatening people.
Oh, he should have dropped that guy. It would have been awesome. And they caught him right before the ground. Whoosh.
Again, that's Batman's thing.
Oh, see? Well, at least he's learning.
Just with what Superman can I must say, he can get boring quite easily, though, because of what he's like his only weakness is kryptonite. Although I think they've changed it a bit now, where he's weak to some other shit, but...
Magic.
He's weak to magic.
Yeah, magic. I've known about magic for a while. Since Kingdom Come, actually. But,
people always give that criticism about Superman where, you know, it's kind of a boring character to write. If you're writing him that his only weakness is kryptonite, you're not writing him well. It's not about his physical weakness sometimes. It's more about his human connections.
Yeah.
And I think those are usually the best Superman. Because the best Superman story avoids the whole kryptonite thing.
His human connections, right? So he's going to show some human side to him sometimes. So he's going to do stuff like interrogate characters.
That's not his thing, though. I mean, I understand for the point of the story, it makes sense that he's kind of snapped. And that was the other thing I hated about the story, and I don't want to ruin this for you who haven't read it, but it's that Batman shows up, Batman's like, you know what, when you do this, this is going to happen.
What, Batman and was there?
And like 10 pages later, Batman's proven right. I love Batman to death, but the guy should not always be right.
That wasn't Batman, it was Dick.
He shouldn't have been in there.
There's two DC titles I buy each month, but one of them's just basically been spoiled for me now. I buy Superman and Wonder Woman.
Well, I haven't said anything about Wonder Woman. I don't read that currently.
Are you just following JMS?
I actually don't really want to admit this, but because of his Thor and some of his Spider-Man stuff, I'm a fan of JMS. Well, not a fan per se, but I like JMS. I don't love him or anything, but I thought his Superman run was going to be like something really good, but if he's just going to be walking across America, then that's going to be like pretty lame.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to last as long as people.
I think at some point, because, I mean, we might as well finish following the issue for you, but they introduced the white kryptonite, which affects humans and not Superman. So he's going to have to deal with people who gain superpowers and what's his responsibility to that.
I wasn't that drunk when I read this. Let me see this.
Did you not know?
I guess. Okay, I'm not going to bother buying this then.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about now. Earl hasn't completely totaled it for you yet.
Not yet.
See, I never thought it... Okay. Wow. You went. I think you're taking a lot from that, man. Thinking that's kryptonite.
Oh no! I know it's kryptonite.
Because JMS said so.
Yes.
I wouldn't think that, man. You know what I thought when I first read that? Eclipso.
Ah, that would have made sense.
So.
But yeah, since JMS told us it was white kryptonite, I knew what it was.
Exactly.
So I guess there are some benefits to going to Comic-Con.
See, you got to buy the book. You make your own decision, man.
But, I mean, I guess we might as well print it. What comics do... What does everybody file unconditionally right now?
I do anything Morrison does, really.
I follow a lot of Bendis stuff.
I do Morrison and Fraction.
Yeah, I quite like Fraction as well.
Yeah, we didn't mention that Bendis is taking over Moon Knight.
I'm going to buy that.
I don't think I'm going to buy Moon Knight.
I wouldn't usually, but if Bendis and Mail are doing it, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, no, you got me. Oh, I'm out. I'm totally out. I can't.
You don't like Bendis?
I don't like Mailov's art, man. It took me a while to get used to the last thing I read that he drew was the N, Stephen King's N. Which, if the story wasn't really good, I would have burned them all. I was like, these are no good. Just my opinion, though. I'm not a fan of his art.
I have a bunch of his Daredevil issues, and I do really like them.
Mm. I like his art.
Like, I like Bendis, man. I buy all the Avenger books, whatever. Mm. The only thing of his I don't think I buy is Scarlet and Powers.
I'm waiting
for Powers.
I have Powers. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to buy Scarlet when it's collected in a trade rather than buy it bi-monthly. I'd rather just read it in one go.
Yes, what was it? Yeah, so Powers is one of my favorite comics because it kind of stands on its own. And it's a nice, interesting universe where they, you know, I like seeing new heroes and stuff like that. So, Eric, who do you file?
Unconditionally? Well, I mean, I've got my boys, but the one book that I find that I always buy, regardless of whatever, is Jonah Hex, man.
Really?
Yep. It's good. Usually done in one stories. I mean, it's great. I don't always read it day one, but when I do get to read it, I'm like, damn, that was good. And I never miss it. So.
I've actually never read a Jonah Hex comic.
Really?
Neither have I. And I don't know why.
I hate cowboys, period, but Jonah Hex is an ass kicker. It's pretty good.
I mean, he's an interesting character. I liked him in the Batman anime series, and I liked him in the short that was with.
Right.
Under the Red Hood, right. But I've never read a comic with him.
But actually, I guess my other mainstays are Spider-Man and Hulk. Always buy them.
I also follow anything Ed Brubaker writes as well, especially if it's to do with Captain America.
I really like his Batman stuff, but I haven't really read anything else except for a couple of his Daredevil issues.
His Captain America run is really good. Not just
agree.
The death of Captain America.
I enjoyed it.
Because, like, Bucky Barnes is Captain America, and that's lasted quite a while now, and everyone seems to really like Bucky Barnes as Captain America. I know I like him.
And Bucky's what makes me buy the book, man.
Yeah.
But you won't accept... You won't accept Dick as Batman.
No.
Well, I haven't read that yet, but I'll wait to make my opinion on that.
Because at least Bucky picked his own costume, you know?
Actually, I think Tony Stark helped him pick it.
Well, he came, but it's different.
Dick's is sort of different. He has a different belt, and it's a bit redesigned, but not really, I guess.
But then it's getting another redesign, isn't it? With the yellow
symbol. Bruce is getting the redesign. That's Bruce's costume.
Right on.
Oh, yeah, right. Fair about that.
Dick is keeping the old one. Bruce is going with the new belt and the insomnia.
Underwear on it are gone.
That reminds me, what's it called? I've always loved Damian Robin's outfit. One, because it's actually a full outfit and not like man pants. And
man pants haven't really been on a character since Tim Robin. Drake's first costume.
But I meant, like, I love the hood for some reason.
Yeah, it's cool.
What? The hood?
Yeah. Damian has a hood for his costume.
I'm like, okay, you're talking about the guy from the Avengers, or...
No Marvel talking in the podcast.
Oh, my.
What did you just say about Marvel?
I said nothing about Marvel. Marvel's a lovely company.
Oh, behave, you DC bumming fanboy.
Oh!
I don't even... This did not encourage him. I will edit out all it is and make it seem like you folks love DC.
I know. You should have heard the butchery you did on our podcast. Never mind. You can edit that out, too.
What butcher?
Nothing. I got nothing.
I have pretty much everything from yesterday intact. That's why it was so fun to do, so I didn't have to... It's Eric.
All I basically did was follow the live blogs, and I didn't mind doing that until I looked at pictures. Obviously, I didn't go because I'm not in the same country for a start, but it seemed all right. Yeah.
Pretty crappy overall, I'd say. I'm sure I would have had fun if I went. I should have, but I didn't. So the news, I just think it's kind of crappy, especially compared to all the announcements at San Diego.
Yeah, I will agree with that, actually.
Fun is questionable. It's an enjoyable experience, but it tires you out, and you end up missing everything.
So, Earl, have you been to both, like, San Diego and New York Comic Con?
No, this is actually my first Comic Con.
So, okay, because I know San Diego is, like, wall-to-wall of breasts, and it's pretty hard to get to the bathroom anywhere you're going, let alone the next panel. Is it like that in New York?
It is, and it isn't. I think the busiest thing, and this is, I don't know much about San Diego, the busiest thing was actually the show floor, and most of that's, like, video games and, like, people selling you stuff.
Right.
The panels were...
Do they have a big Hollywood section in there now, too, or?
Like a what Hollywood section?
Well, like for San Diego, man, there's always like almost half of the show now is for movies, right? Like people line up a week before Hall H opens to get good seats.
Yeah, there's like nothing movie related, really. We have the IGN Theater, which is like the big thing. We know like the Walking Dead premiere was there. That's where the DC Universe animated panel was. Nikita. So that's like the big one. It seats like 3,000 people. But that was about it. The panels were on a separate field from the show field, which was nice, so you get to spit up the crowd. Mm-hmm. And it was also a joint venture with the Anime Fest, so it was like an anime video game comic book convention.
Interesting.
It was packed on Saturday, and then Sunday was Kids Day, so you had a bunch of snot-nosed five-year-olds. And I guess personal antidote, I was saying, I finally got around to Van Gogh tonight at the Activision booth because I wanted to win a t-shirt. I paid at the Nintendo booth, but the Activision booth, as though you weren't given a t-shirt if you won the game. And I ended up paying with a bunch of 8-year-olds, and I felt bad because I didn't want to do anything because it's just this game picking on them.
I would have killed them all for that shirt, man.
See, that's the thing. I don't want to be a jerk, so I'm like, I can't do anything with these 8-year-olds, so I'm just kind of like, I was just messing around. I think I ended up getting second or something like that.
I'll just admit that you got whooped by an 8-year-old.
No, I actually didn't get whooped. I was doing well. I just didn't want to do like super well because I felt like I was being a jerk then.
How is GoldenEye, by the way?
It was a interesting experience. I'll go with that. I think my problem with GoldenEye, and this is kind of odd to believe, I've never actually used a Wii Classic controller. So it was like,
that'd be interesting, man. How would that work? Because I can only think of the 64 controller, right? So
trying to switch it up would be weird.
Well, it's not even that. Like, if they had the Wiimote and Nunchuck, I'd be perfectly fine with that. I'm actually okay. But I've never used a classic controller, so I'm trying to learn how to play a game and a new controller at the same time. And I don't want to. It has the same problem I have with the PS2 and PS3 controller. I hate the placement of the analog stick. I much prefer it like the Xbox and the GameCube and the Dreamcast.
Really?
We have one analog stick up and then another one lower down. I don't know why I kind of prefer it that way. I don't like the two analog sticks being at the same level.
At least PlayStation has a solid D-pad.
True that.
But I mean, how often do you use a D-pad? Well, I guess I'm using that for Sonic 4, but...
Yeah, any like side-scroller XBLA game... If you like, it's kind of terrible without a proper D-pad.
Is anybody getting the new controller?
I want to just for the D-pad alone.
New Xbox controller?
Yeah, it has like a D-pad. Yeah, rotatable D-pad where you can raise it.
Really?
Yeah, but the only thing is that they're doing away with colors, which I think is kind of stupid. So all the buttons are like black, white, gray, and lighter gray.
Yeah. Although I don't really look at the controller while I'm using it, so that's not that big a deal for me.
Okay, I guess that was final thoughts on New York Comic Con. Not the greatest, not the worst. It was there. There was some stuff to talk about. Oh, I know we're excited. Yay. So for Eric, Dillion, Anthony, and, well, my true you awesome self. This is episode 16, signing out.
Wow! Good on the rise! Wow!
Okay.